Welcome to the podcast where heavy industrial industries meet the venture capital ecosystem, interviewing both thought-leading investors and pioneering founders to better understand the opportunities and challenges that lie ahead for digital industrial innovation. Your host is Ty Finley, and this is the Heavy Hitters Podcast.
Maggie Kennefake joins us today from Kansas City. Maggie is the founding partner of Iron Prairie Ventures, an early stage firm focused on innovators facilitating the next industrial revolution. Prior to founding Iron Prairie, she was a venture partner at Royal Street Ventures focused on early stage B2B SaaS. And before that, the director of operations at Portfolia, where she helped build three new funds on their platform. And Maggie also spent a decade at the Kauffman Foundation in various program officer roles, including leading the women's entrepreneurship strategy. Some of her current digital industrial investments include Celerity Enterprises, Plot, Raya Space Activity, Yellowbird, and Zoom. Maggie, it's great to have another digital industrial emerging manager and Kauffman Fellows classmate of mine on the show. So thanks for joining and welcome to the Heavy Hitters.
Thanks, Ty. I'm thrilled to be here.
Right on. Well, I gave a short summary, always the cliff notes in my introduction, but give us more of that color commentary on your journey from the Kauffman Foundation to now launching and leading an early stage sector focused venture fund out of Kansas City.
Yeah, I liked your version, Ty. It sounded very, very linear, I would say, is probably the best word for it. And I think, you know, the truth is it was much more serendipitous than that. But I think to kind of take it down to the essence, you know, it's a nice sized career with about two thirds of that spent on ecosystem building side. And the last, let's call it 8.5 or so years on the investment side, always a passion for, you know, entrepreneurs, innovators, and disruptors, and finding ways to catalyze human and financial resources to address areas of need and opportunity.
Excellent. Well, from what I know about you, Maggie, you are an excellent ecosystem builder, and we're going to talk about that later in the show. So let's come back to that here in a second. But maybe just to set the stage for our listeners, can you tell us a little more those high-level data points about Iron Prairie Ventures and the fund mandate? You know, and what was it that motivated you to start a firm, in your words, to shape and redefine the industries that build, supply, and maintain our world?
Yeah, so, you know, I think it goes hand in hand with where my career has been in terms of recognizing opportunity and unmet needs and challenges and wanting to figure out how to bring financial and human resources to bear to address some of those concerns. When it comes to, you know, industrial tech specifically, I think first and foremost, and I know you know this as well or better than most, you know, it's an enormous part of the U.S. economy and the global economy. It's been underinvested and overlooked for decades. There are problems that have been plaguing the foundational industries for decades. So, you know, we can talk about the rush to mass customization and a supply chain that wasn't built to handle that. We can talk about labor shortages and cyber threats and all of those things. But, you know, when you look at what's happened over the last, let's call it 4 years, the entire conversation has been democratized. What were sort of dusty, forgotten, underinvested, and overlooked spaces became dinner table conversation. And the urgency and demand, which existed far before things like COVID, have only been heightened since COVID, right? With the geopolitical tensions, it's an enormous opportunity where technology penetration is low. And I would say, and I think a lot of bankers and market analysts would agree, it's one of those last frontiers where technology really has yet to penetrate the way it has other industries. So it's both. It's opportunity and need, and it's essential to our economy and our, you know, livelihoods.
Yeah, well, no doubt. It's the supply chain issues are only getting uglier, right? We're watching ships get attacked over in the Middle East, to say the least, amongst other things we could call out. And Maggie, maybe just so that people have on record, check sizes, stage, just the scope of men as they think about reaching out to Iron Prairie.
Yeah, sure. So I launched Iron Prairie last January of 23. And our check sizes range right now, 150 to about 300, 350K is our entry point. That will shift over time over the next 6 to 12 months, and you'll probably see us play more in the 250 to 600K initial entry point check, with, of course, you know, reserves for follow-on funding.
Excellent. Gotcha. And what the next question, we'll go a little deeper. Mentioned, you know, Maggie, your home is Kansas City. So let's go a little deeper on the thesis that you describe at Iron Prairie Ventures, to use your words, as the only industrial tech investment firm in a six-state region and one that is filling a critical needs gap by recognizing the potential of and investing in founders and innovators who are pioneering the future. So tell us, what's unique about building and managing an industrial-focused fund in the heart of the Midwest, and how do you see this location and connectivity as a competitive advantage that sets you apart from your peer funds? I know I believe in what you're doing, so share it with the audience.
Yeah, so, you know, when you think about what Iron Prairie is focused on, which is digital transformation of the industrial sector defined as construction, manufacturing, infrastructure, supply chain, and logistics, and you think about the Midwest, you have this sector, this region of the country, this location in the country that, you know, represents 30% of manufacturing in the U.S., a significant portion of all ground, air, and rail freight that goes from North to South America and East to West in the U.S., that is a opportunity in that we have access to customers, resources, people, and networks in our region that both need and can contribute value to technologies and innovations that are shaping these foundational industries. We also happen to be an undercapitalized region. There is not enough venture in the Midwest. It falls far short of other regions of the country. And when you think about the industries that are being supported by venture in the Midwest, it's missing the very kind of heart and soul of American industry and what the heartland's all about. So Iron Prairie's position is more about connecting customers, resources, opportunities for the benefit of startups, but also of the wealth creation and industry that exists in this region where Iron Prairie and I am based.
Yeah, well, the adage of, you know, startup founders, you know, where your customers are, where you should be spending a lot of time. And Maggie, I think, you know, one area they should be spending some time. And I saw this last year. You were kind enough to invite me. You guys with some friends in the Kansas City region put on a big tech ecosystem conference called Mid by Midwest. Is that correct? And I think I saw all the corporates that you would want to be engaging with smack dab in the middle of that conversation. So it's, again, just a compliment to what you guys are building. Did I get the conference right?
Yeah, no, you did. I do that. Iron Prairie co-hosted that event in partnership with Flyover Capital, and we did it. We repeated it again this year and grew the event a little bit. But it's a great opportunity to showcase, you know, the portfolio companies of the venture firms in this region, as well as venture-backed and venture-ready companies in this region. You know, as you know too, when it comes to industrial tech, a lot of time those companies, you know, they're not. There are regions where pockets of SaaS and life sciences happen, right? And fintech happens. When it comes to industrial tech happens everywhere. And so oftentimes those opportunities aren't found on Crunchbase or in PitchBook. They're happening in venture studios and accelerators spread out across flyover country, as well as, you know, pockets of places where there's general venture activity. But part of bringing a broader venture audience into the Midwest is to showcase the opportunities that abound here.
Absolutely. Well, I saw it in full effect, and it takes time to build that ecosystem, but the dividends pay off big time when you do. So I was excited to get up there and hope to make another one. Well, maybe pushing us forward here, let's talk more macro about, you know, venture in this ecosystem. 2023, you know, it's a tough year across venture. I'm just referencing PitchBook, NVCA, Venture Monitor data. It said deals, dollars, fundraising, exits, all of it down, right? But and while the story of 2024 has just begun, there's already some discussion across the venture ecosystem around the role and viability of smaller funds, particularly those focused in industrial tech and more capital intensive industries sometimes, and their ability to compete and thrive in a world where many large multi-stage firms are also beginning to specialize by sector and go after some of the same deals once thought to be too small or niche for their strategies. So in an environment where industrial tech is capturing more and more attention from the broader range of investors, to your point, you know, lasting COVID supply chain issues, geopolitical tensions, et cetera, how do smaller sector-focused funds continue to maintain their edge and compete for the best deals? Because I'm assuming me and you, we're not going anywhere. We're gonna keep at it, keep competing. And maybe then, what's good and bad about more eyes on industrial tech startups? If I could add that on there.
Yeah, well, I think I'm gonna start with that because I think that's probably the easiest one to answer. As you and I both know, there is more capital intensity. This is a different playbook from traditional SaaS, even when you're staying focused on software in these spaces like I am, it's still a different playbook. And so it does require more capital. And as you grow in scale, those kind of needs and demands intensify. Where I think what's good about having more eyes on this space is that upstream capital, those larger, let's call them multi-stage funds, are very important to this process. I don't believe that it replaces the importance of what earlier stage or emerging firms can do, which is our ability to connect on the ground in different regions and ecosystems in meaningful ways to find opportunities that others may not see. And what we're able to do is to get behind those ideas early, refine them, work with those teams, and position them, hopefully through the strength of our ability to build solid relationships with co-investors and upstream partners, for, you know, larger firms to come in. I mean, you know, to be honest, the game I'm playing is very different from the larger firms, right? It's an early stage firm. Returns are paramount, but the economics required of me to yield successful returns to my investors are very different from a larger firm. And that provides, I think, more agility, flexibility, and opportunity to look at things that might not be ready for some of these, you know, larger firms in the space. But there is a place for all of these players, and more capital and more attention and more visibility to the importance of the problems being solved in these sectors is only good for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I can only double down, triple down, and bet my career on it. The more eyeballs, the more capital, the better. You do have to understand your own fund construction strategy. You have to be thinking of it as a portfolio manager. But again, I don't think I'm not coming off the field until they drag me off of it. So we'll let each have their own opinion on this. But I think the more the better. And 2024, I'm already seeing some great green shoots and already getting some good deals under the belt that I think are going to have plenty of potential for later stage funds to come in afterwards. So I'll leave it with that. Lots more to discussion, but I do want to get in a couple more questions. So pushing us forward again. Let's go back to this ecosystem building thing we kicked off with, and anyone who is active in the digital industrial ecosystem knows it's mission critical to foster and build more ecosystem, definitely not less, to support these founders who are tackling some of the world's hardest challenges. It takes a village for sure. So let's talk more about ecosystem building. And throughout your career, Maggie, you've been a leader and connector across various stakeholder groups, all in the name of supporting innovation, entrepreneurship, and economic development. I think even when we were in Kauffman together, your bio said you're someone who thrives activating networks. So talk to us about some of your lessons learned along the way and how you go about building ecosystem in support of industrial innovation today in your role leading Iron Prairie. You know, what are some of those tips for our listeners on how to make that magic happen across entrepreneurs, corporate executives, civic leaders, profits, et cetera?
Yeah. Ty, I appreciate that question. I mean, in terms of kind of what I've learned and tips, for Iron Prairie's position in ecosystem building, it is still early innings. But when I think about what I'm leveraging over the past several years, you know, part of it's always been about being interested and curious, listening, understanding stakeholders, concerns, challenges, even vulnerabilities, and then being able to connect like-minded thinkers and doers. And I, you know, bringing together the right types of people to collectively look at problems and challenges and opportunities, I think is paramount to winning in the ecosystem building space. And it's what I've been doing for many years and in many different forms. But, you know, Mid by Midwest is an example of that. I run a local group of industrial innovators where I'm bringing together founders, funders, investors, and corporates to talk about innovation and opportunities they see and the kinds of technologies they're looking at. And that happens just regionally here in Kansas City on a quarterly basis. But Kansas City Industrial Innovators is one example of that. Mid by Midwest is another example of that. But I think it really comes down to relationships, which we know are important anywhere we go. But it's about understanding where those connections and opportunities to bring people together to look at something the same way matters.
Absolutely. And maybe just to tack on to the point of all those efforts you mentioned, connecting your network specifically in that 6-state region and broader, for the corporate specifically, as we talked about earlier, sometimes they really have a ramp up still to go. I mean, I've asked the baseball inning analogy on this podcast plenty of times. I think uniform, even in 2024, is we're still in the early innings of this. I don't know for industry 4.0 or 5.0. I can't keep up with it. Maybe the World Economic Forum, they could tell us. But the point being, it's still early to engage a lot of these, you know, industrial family owned businesses or PE backed or whatever it may be on their digital ramp up, digital journey. Any hacks or tips that you've seen as you've started to connect your ecosystem of corporates into the venture and innovation ecosystem with some of these efforts? Anything just stand out on what's made an impact for you in your area?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of it is meeting them where they are and providing those corporates different opportunities to see different ways innovation and engagement in the startup ecosystem can play, right? So at Mid by Midwest, we brought together people from outside of Kansas City and inside of Kansas City, outside and inside the Midwest, to look at ways corporates can approach innovation. And we heard from a variety of different places and organizations and size, right? So some people have accelerators that are either industry focused, like Black & Veatch, which is a global engineering firm headquartered here in Kansas City and has an Ignite accelerator, or our friends Thai Heritage Group, right, in Indianapolis. Yep. They have an in-house accelerator. Some have corporate venture arms, like some of the utility companies, one here in Kansas City, Evergy Ventures, has its own venture arm. But then there are smaller ways where corporates are bringing in innovators in industrial tech to just talk to their employees over whether it's something as simple as a lunch and learn, just to begin to tap the interest and engagement in innovation and startups for their organization. So I think it happens at all levels, but I think some of it is meeting corporates where they are and providing them opportunities to see different ways that, you know, corporate innovation and engagement can happen.
I love it. I think you absolutely have to meet them where they're at, because they're in lots of different places, right? Every manufacturing site, every warehouse, it's like a snowflake, right? There's lots of things that you have to go through. I'd also throw out there, I think there just has to be a genuine level of consistency to engage with them and their ecosystem. And this kind of goes back to, why do smaller sector focused funds exist? I know the same for you, Meg. All we do is spend our time talking to logistics operators or manufacturing plant operators or name your pick. And so when it comes across as like, we're here for the long haul, we're not going to be in these sectors one day because there are geopolitical issues, throwing the word reshoring out. We're here to really dive deep and be a part of this and help you along the way. So I think there's a consistency, and I think that comes with them actually picking the phone up when you do need to call them for diligence or you want to share tips back and forth. So throw that out there again as a plug for the
all those funds
trying to merge. So,
right.
Well, next question here. We're hot off into 2024, so I think we can still throw out some what do you think's coming ahead, and maybe I'll do that with one of our audience's favorite questions I get feedback on. It's a little section I call what's hot and what's hype. And Maggie, for you, what are the 2024 digital industrial innovation predictions on what you think, call it technologies and or business model approaches that are going to be hot and that are really hitting some scale now, versus maybe some that are promising, but to use that Gartner term, overhyped at the moment, at least for now? Where do you stand on it going into 2024?
Yeah, great question. So let's talk about what's hot. You know, I think digital twin technology across the industrial sectors will continue to be kind of at the forefront. I hosted a panel with, speaking of corporates, I had someone from Deloitte's i4.0 practice. I had someone from one of the utility corporate venture arms and a VP of innovation for a large construction company. Oh, this is probably 2 months ago. And, you know, across the board, they all are looking for digital twin solutions, all for different kinds of applications. But I think that tech and the continued development and application of digital twin technology is going to be really important. And it's something, you know, we're certainly looking for and looking at Iron Prairie. I think we're just on the tip of the iceberg when it comes to dual use technology. You mentioned an investment we made in Rhea Space Activity, which, you know, at first pass is very much sounds like a space tech solution, and that certainly is where its origins are. But the opportunity for industrial application for what they've built is vast and exciting and compelling. And so I think those kind of opportunities will only continue to rise. And
Maggie, real quick, define dual use. Some would say defense commercial application. Some have other different definitions. Maybe just real quickly define that so we understand your
outlook. Yeah. I mean, I define it as dual purpose, absolutely defense or government applications, as well as civilian or commercial applications or private sector applications. And so, you know, in the case of Rhea, they're enabling in its simplest form, they're enabling navigation in GPS denied environments. But there's much more to it than that. And it's a really exciting technology and a brilliant team behind it. So that is how I define dual use.
Yeah, no, I love it. Like Icon, our portfolio, printing commercial homes, but also military barracks, Mars missions in the future, and lots of grant money, lots of non-dilutive grant money that come with. But you got to approach that dual mandate carefully because you do have to have a go-to-market engine that appeases both. So, but keep Absolutely. Us going here, Maggie.
What I think's hype is, and I've been reading quite a bit around kind of dark factories, and you know, I think I liken that a little bit to fully autonomous, let's call it self-driving cars. No doubt these dark factories, so manufacturing facilities that can run without human intervention 24/7, or at least, you know, through the off hours without any human intervention. We are seeing with automation and robotics, we are seeing signs of that becoming reality. And there are places where through precision manufacturing, robotics and automation, you are seeing some, you know, machine shops be able to run in off hours very effectively. So it's coming towards us. I just think, I still think we're a ways from that being what I would call sort of mainstream and common practice. I think technology, the technology and the applications of those technologies still have a ways to go to get us all the way there. But I think it's exciting, and no doubt it's coming. It's just a question of when.
Yeah, I'm all for, again, people pushing boundaries. I agree. Must have been through 100 facilities, at least in my career and then my family's businesses. It's the only time I've ever seen lights out is when the transformer blew up, and that was not the lights out you wanted. So,
no.
and my joke aside, I think what it really comes down to is the human element is the most important part of any of this digital industrial ecosystem. And so a lot of tech grandeur ideas. People who maybe aren't as familiar with the domain think rip and replace the human with automation. And what I'd say is if there was a better time for the robots to rule the world, it would have been during COVID. And they certainly did not take over because, you know, millions of skilled laborers slash heroes showed up for us and got us all our boxes when we were sitting at home during COVID. So always have to give the human element a shout out there.
Yeah.
So maybe then, Maggie, I want to always bring this home to the founders at some point, those folks in the arena. And so what words would you, of wisdom would you have for them that are thinking about raising venture capital and engaging with Iron Prairie Ventures ahead? And we always love to say any kind of key to success as they kick the chat off with you or a common challenge to avoid right out the gate.
Sure. Let's talk about keys to success. You know, I think it's always about people, solution, market, and execution. I think in the sectors that I'm playing in, and you, I think you are too, capital efficiency is really important. That doesn't mean run lean and mean. It means use the capital you have and the capital you bring in wisely and carefully, because this is a different playbook. It takes an enormous amount of time to make these enterprise contracts happen. And, you know, it's just important to be very thoughtful about that. So keys to success as an early stage company, the table stakes are people, solution, and market. But then execution, capital efficiency, knowing your customer, spending a lot of time understanding their challenges is paramount, especially in the sectors that we're playing in. Pitfalls to avoid, you know, I think it's kind of the same as what the keys to success are. I think execution and capital efficiency, making sure that those early customers happen easily and joyfully is kind of the word that comes to mind. But, you know, that their experience using said solution is one that they're willing to go out and talk about. I think we talk about relationships and the human element. It's important in every sector and every industry. But in the industrial space, I think it's even more important, right? So much of what happens in the spaces we're playing in does happen based on relationships, referrals, personal connections. And so I think execution and kind of your customers' success or your customer's experience is unequivocally important in this journey.
Couldn't agree with you more. Great advice. Well, let's wrap up here. It's a little Q&A section we call quick hitter. So if you're ready, we'll jump in.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Number one thing you're looking for when you're evaluating a founder specifically who's building within this ecosystem.
Yeah, I wish I could narrow it to one, but it's not, right? It's the table stakes, and then it's the way they approach it, right? It's got to be the whole package. You know, do they have people, solution, in a market that's large and growing? Do they have the ability to execute and some historical point of reference where they've executed successfully? And do they understand kind of the milestones and what's ahead of them? Because this is not an easy game. It's one absolutely worth playing and one where you can win, but you've got to understand that going in.
Great. Well, what is one resource, could be book, podcast, blog, whatever you'd recommend to our audience to follow in the ecosystem?
Yeah, you know, Ty, I still really like, it's not coming out as frequently as it used to, but Robin Deschamps' Future of Manufacturing continues to be an easy, quick, digestible read and sort of summary of, you know, events and happenings across particularly the manufacturing ecosystem, but he touches and reaches out beyond that as well.
Yeah, I think he had one of the better landscapes out there. He kept adding for years and years. So it's a good one that Robin puts out. Well, maybe who's one person who should be on this show, help us wave the flag and build ecosystem?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I've been a heavy hitter listener for a while, and I have to say you've had quite an impressive storied guest list to date. You know, I think right now, hearing from some people who have picked different directions in this space would be interesting. I think Countdown Capital's Jay Malik would be interesting. I think some people who have a different purview. I honestly think Robin Deschamps could have an interesting angle for you just to talk about where he's at, what he sees from his vantage point, and why he's passionate about this sector could be really interesting.
Excellent. And finally, Maggie, best way for folks to reach out to you after the show?
Sure. I think LinkedIn is great. I pay attention to it and happy to reach out back to people. I'm also okay if people want to reach out to me at maggie@ironprairie.vc.
Awesome. Well, I am beyond excited. You fired up Iron Prairie Capital, and we've got a lot of work ahead to do with lots of our allies here in this broader digital industrial ecosystem. So thanks for coming on and kicking off 2024. Look forward to working with you some more this year, Maggie.
Thanks, Ty. Thanks for having me.